all Democrats got together and talked a lot and strategized a lot for the upcoming election at their convention this weekend. Laurel White, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter, and Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Bureau Chief, were there. They were listening. They were talking to people. And we've got clips. Welcome to the program, guys.
Hey.
Thanks for having us.
So I'm going to do some convention attendees. If you were there, let us know what your takeaways were. How are you feeling about the state campaign this season? What hope do Wisconsin Democrats have or don't have moving forward? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. We also have our Facebook page. So let's get right into this because we have a lot of clips to play. What did party leaders have to say about this so-called blue wave, which Governor Scott Walker has warned Republicans about? Sean?
Yeah, so you did hear about it in varying degrees from party leaders. It's not something that they steered away from. There's some thought among some Democrats that talking about the wave is not a good message
don't
for the strategy.
Don't jinx it. Right. Don't jinx it.
Just keep working. Don't say you're going to win. Do the work. But I wouldn't say that people avoided it by any means. And generally, you heard kind of an optimistic feel from speakers. It was a combination of, hey, this could be a good year for us, but please keep working.
One of the bigger things on the ticket is Tammy Baldwin. She is up for reelection for the first time as a senator. She has been reelected to other offices before. She spoke at the convention. What did she focus on?
She came back to health care a couple times, and specifically the Republican health care bill that failed in 2017. She told delegates at this convention, "That was you. You helped kill that bill. The people killed that bill. Know your power and bring that power to my race." Came back to that a couple times. And she also focused on her opponents, former Marine Kevin Nicholson, State Senator Leah Vukmir, and particularly her opponents' financial backers. Nicholson has benefited from millions of spending from one donor in particular, Richard Eline of Illinois. She's saying that they're trying to, quote, buy a Senate seat. And so, again, trying to get that base fired up to say, look what you're up against.
Is she making this about grassroots versus big money?
That's the pitch that she's making. But I mean, so Tammy Baldwin is not an underfunded candidate.
Right,
I mean, she is a great fundraiser. As a personal candidate, she's getting a lot of money coming in from all over the country. Outside groups are definitely pouring money into Wisconsin on the Republican side in hopes of flipping this seat.
Meanwhile, Laurel, we have 10 Democratic gubernatorial candidates. I said they are almost a football team. Before they did their speeches, how are Democrats feeling about the size of this field?
Well, I think that we've gotten kind of, mixed messages from Democrats about the size of the field. Some people have been frustrated that donors are kind of split up between this field of 10 candidates. Some big donors are sitting out. So that's been a frustration for some. But I think, as Sean mentioned, a lot of people are energized and excited and optimistic, maybe in part because of that blue wave conversation.
And there was a straw poll taken at the convention. Who won that poll?
Yeah, this is a straw poll that's administered by WisPolitics.com. So this is not like the Republican convention where delegates vote on whether to endorse a candidate and it's an officially party-sanctioned vote. This is just a straw poll to say, hey, who do you support? And so there are 10 candidates on the straw poll. 789 people voted, I think, at this thing. And Kelda Royce was the winner. She had about 23% of those who voted, followed by Malin Mitchell and Tony Evers, who were pretty close second and third, but around 11% of those who voted. So, this is not a scientific poll, but...
But it gives us an idea.
You had almost 800 party activists in a room, basically, and this is who they wanted on this day.
Let's turn now to these candidates. We are talking to Sean Johnson and Laurel White of WPR's Capitol. They are both our Capitol reporters. We're talking about the Democratic Convention, which happened this weekend. Give us a call if you want to talk about this, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. So you mentioned Tony Evers. He got a good number of votes, but not as much as Akel DeRoys. What did he have to say?
Yeah, Tony Evers is the state school superintendent. Said he's running for governor because he's tired of the governor attacking schools. And he also said, and this is a theme you've heard from him throughout this campaign, that he's the most electable because he's already won statewide office. Mm.
Rural red communities that Scott Walker won 4 years ago, like Elkhorn, Clinton, Howard Suamico, and Marshfield, have overwhelmingly passed school referendums over the last 2 years. As state superintendent, I won these communities just 1 year ago. As your governor candidate, I will win these communities next November.
So Evers is saying he's electable. I'm electable. I have a wide swath. That's why you should support me.
That's right. So he's been elected state school superintendent 3 times. The first time he was elected was 2009. He was just, as he mentioned there, reelected last year to the post. So that's really something he's pushing in this campaign. I have statewide name recognition. I have a history of winning statewide elections. Mm.
Let's turn now to Matt Flynn. Matt said that things that made Wisconsin, like clean water and clean government, were disappearing under Republicans, right?
That's right.
We can't sit by and watch our democracy destroyed. We can't stand by and watch Scott Walker undo our progressive tradition. Wisconsin used to be known for clean water, high wages, and honest government. And today we're known for dirty water, low wages, and corrupt government. And that has got to change.
So, Sean, Matt Flynn has got some issues himself coming into this race.
His issues are the work that he did for Quarles and Brady, a large law firm and whose clients include the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. And Matt Flynn was the chief lawyer who defended the Archdiocese of Milwaukee for about 15 years in these priest abuse cases that came before them.
So can you fault a lawyer for working for his client?
His argument is that you can't, that the Archdiocese needed an attorney. Their firm was Quarles and Brady. He represented them. He did his job well. At the same time, Matt Flynn is a Catholic and makes no bones about it. He believes very much in the Catholic Church and in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee as an organization. Flynn has run for office 4 times before, 78, 86, 88, 2004. It has the sound of a perennial candidate, but if you look back at his races, there were some close calls that, if things had gone differently, we could have been talking about, multi-term Congressman Matt Flynn or something along those lines.
Why is he decided to be in this race in particular?
He has said that, it's not the Wisconsin he knew. When he was kind of coming up in Wisconsin politics, he ran the state party, the state Democratic Party, in the early 80s. Also, I think like a lot of these other candidates, he looked at the early field and thought, hey, this is winnable. I'm going to get in. And so that's why we have 10 candidates.
Let's talk about Andy Gronick. Set this up for us.
Andy Gronick is that candidate that Democrats had 4 years ago in Mary Burke, that private sector candidate who's running for governor. That's how he presented himself at convention, as an outsider who understands business.
I am uniquely equipped to go toe-to-toe with Scott Walker. I can't wait to go toe-to-toe with Scott Walker and have him give me some of that open for business nonsense. Because for 35 years, I not only built my own business to one of the largest of its type in the world, but I helped other businesses to be successful.
So Mary Burke actually came close to beating Scott Walker 4 years ago. Do you think Gronick has a chance here?
He has to get out of this primary first. And so the question is that the kind of candidate that Democrats want when they have choices? I mean, in 2014, Mary Burke was the candidate, really. I mean, there were a couple others maybe that were running in the race, but she had the party support, and she was up on TV running ads like in March, I believe. So it's a different story this time with such a crowded primary.
The Democratic Party is stretched from the people who are business people to the people who want universal health care. Which side is winning right now, Laurel?
Well, it's really hard to say. I think we're going to get more insight into that in August when we find out. Because
the
candidates are really different.
Though, this weekend, what was the sense of it? Who were the delegates that were there? What were their issues?
The delegates are, you hear this recurring theme no matter who you talk to. It feels like no matter who we nominate, we're going to unify behind them. People are obviously behind their different candidates. And, you know, you can tell that they dislike some of the candidates. They say so somewhat politely about some of them. But they always come back and say, hey, but no matter who we get, we're going to unite behind them in August. And that's kind of where the party's at, it seems like.
We are talking to Sean Johnson and Laurel White about the state Democratic convention and about the Democrats' chances in the upcoming election, especially in the primaries in August. You are listening to The Morning Show. We're going to come back and listen to some more clips. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Right now, we are talking about the state Democratic convention that was held this weekend. We've got Laurel White and Sean Johnson here, our experts on all things politics in Wisconsin at WPR. Thank you for being here. We also want to hear from you, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. You can also go to our Facebook page, our Ideas Network Facebook page. So let's talk about Mike McCabe. He is one of the 10 people running for governor. Talk to us about him.
Yeah, Mike McCabe, he delivered, I think anybody who heard it would say it was a fiery speech, where he talked about how a corrupt campaign finance system was holding Wisconsin back.
We will never get living wages from a dying democracy. We will never get good health care from a sick political system. We will never get clean air and clean water from dirty politics. And we will never get anything more than thoughts and prayers after each new mass shooting, as long as elected officials are paid to take no other action.
Okay, so how can the governor of Wisconsin change our campaign finance system? This is something that the Supreme Court decided upon, negated Congress's laws, the McCain-Feingold law. What power does the governor have to do in this?
Well, I think what's happening here with Mike McCabe is that campaign finance really is his issue. He was the head of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, which tracks money in politics in Wisconsin. So I think what he's trying to do here is make this his primary kind of platform for the race. And then if elected, he says, I'm going to deal with campaign finance. I mean, he's made it a big part of his campaign also in that he says he's not taking donations over $200. Mm. He says, I've seen what big donations mean to politicians. I've seen that strings are attached, you know, in his work with the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And he says, I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm going to practice what I preach. So I think it's sort of seen as a referendum on campaign politics or campaign finance in Wisconsin if Democrats do choose him as the eventual nominee.
Malin Mitchell focus on at the convention?
Malin Mitchell, State Firefighter Union's chief, talked about how people working together within the firefighters union had gotten him into the union movement. And he said he wanted to bring that same approach to the state of Wisconsin.
As firefighters, when our community's at their worst, we respond and we have to be at our best. So that's what we need in elected officials. That's what we need with state government. That means a school system that isn't starved for funding. We cannot afford two separate and unequal school systems. We have to make sure we give public dollars to public education and make sure we take care of our kids, because that's our greatest commodity.
So Mitchell, we can say, is the union guy, since he is the president of a union.
And it's not just that. I mean, I think you might look at a primary this big and think that union endorsements might be spread thin, right? But Mitchell is getting a lot of the big union endorsements. He got the AFL-CIO. He got Ask Me. He got the Operating Engineers Union that endorsed Governor Scott Walker in his 2010 race for governor. So a lot of that union endorsement and the union money is flowing to Malin Mitchell in this race. He is the second youngest candidate in the race behind Kelda Roys. I believe he's 41. So he brings, you know, something that other party activists are looking for, of kind of a fresh face.
He's the second youngest candidate.
Yes.
Let's go to the youngest candidate, Josh Pade, I believe. He's the latest candidate in the race. Talk to me about who Josh Pade is.
Josh Pade, he's an unknown right now. He is on the ballot, though, assuming his signatures hold. He was the latest candidate to file in the race, said he wanted to bring a new face to what he called, quote, progressive economics.
I believe that pro-growth and progressive are not opposing values, that we are pro-growth because we are progressive. We are going to set forth an economic agenda that will keep young people here in the state and encourage them to start businesses or go to new jobs.
I think for a lot of people, Josh Pade is still a little bit of a mystery. He has worked as on the staffs of U.S. Senators Russ Feingold and others, I believe he said, in Washington. So he's coming back to Wisconsin. Mm. He's an attorney. And he had a booth there, and he was just actually retail politics, shaking hands with delegates as they came in.
Did he get any votes in the straw poll?
He got 7 votes in the straw poll out of 789, which was not last.
Which was not last. So he got more than Paul Soglin, who has been the mayor forever of Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, Paul Soglin was first elected to the Madison Common Council in 1968 and has been mayor in 3 different stints over that time. And so, again, we stress that this straw poll is not scientific, but it is surprising to see one person out of that many people support Paul Soglin at convention.
Let's hear from Paul.
I know how to govern, work with fair corporations that provide $15 an hour, health insurance and retirement plans, and look at the elections I've won, defeating 3 incumbents. I'm the only candidate, Democrat or Republican, who busted glass ceilings, built an inclusive economy.
Does Paul Soglin have the chops to be governor? Does he have the support now in this Wisconsin in 2018 to be governor?
So we have to, I guess, contrast what we saw at the straw poll and with him basically not really making much of a push at convention over the weekend with what we have seen in the limited polls that have been out there. A Marquette poll showed him in second a place among the candidates. That was back in March, although most people said they didn't know enough about the candidates to have a favorite. A poll released by Soglin's campaign, but done by a firm with national credentials, showed him trailing Tony Evers in that race. But this race, you know, it could be one that is developing quickly, and Soglin has made a point of saying, I'm not going to go out and campaign like the other candidates. It's not my style. You know, the question is whether that's going to work at a time when you've got 9 other candidates who are out there hustling.
Kelda Roys actually won the straw poll with 23% of the vote. Talk to us about what her issues are and why people seem to gravitate toward her.
So her speech, real quick, started off the way that a lot of her campaign has been. And she talked about her kids, and specifically she talked about a new game that her 3-year-old daughter was learning at school.
And all the kids had to be very quiet. They turned out the lights. They all went to hide in the corner under the playhouse because they wanted to make sure nobody would be able to know where they were. And I realized she was describing to me an active shooter drill at 3 years old. Now, I'm grateful to her teachers for trying to keep her safe, but that is not the world that I want her to grow up in, and I am ready to do something about it.
Without a state legislature with her, can a Democratic governor actually do something about shootings?
Well, I think that Kelda Roys would come into the governor's office. I think she would argue with a very energized Democratic voter base, people who have chosen her to lead on issues like gun control. So I think that she'd obviously make a big push for that. Now, she can't make the state Senate and Assembly, if she were governor, vote in a certain way. And of course, we know that there are strong Republican majorities in both of those houses right now. We don't know what they'll be like after the election. But it would be something that if she still would have those Republican majorities, she'd have to come up with some sort of bipartisan solution on gun control.
So, Sean, you were talking to people at the convention about their enthusiasm and who they were supporting and why they were supporting them. Why did people say that they were supporting Kelda Royce?
I think the people that support Kelda Royce just, you hear terms like, you know, kind of a fresh new face, progressive, energetic. The question that I've heard from people who are a little uneasy about her, not necessarily uneasy about her, but they just want to know if she could win outside of Madison. Is something that I heard from a couple Democrats just in, you know, just in talking to people out in the hallway. That's a question that is going to linger for anybody from Milwaukee or Madison. You know, hey, the party's tried this before with getting a Democrat from those cities. Mm-hmm. Those are big Democratic vote centers, but are they going to turn people out in western Wisconsin?
And so that's what Evers is answering.
Evers is saying, I'm that candidate. Yeah. Evers is saying, look at the results. Of course, he's running nonpartisan races for state superintendent, so it's not exactly apples to apples. But his message is, I've already won those counties, so, you know, make me your nominee.
And Malin Mitchell has union representation all over the state, so presumably he's arguing the same thing.
He's run for office, too. I mean, he is, but Malin Mitchell is from Madison, and he is trying to also stake out a position as a Milwaukee candidate, too. He's got a campaign headquarters there. He's endorsed by Congresswoman Gwen Moore. It's an imperfect push for him to say I'm like the statewide candidate. He has run as lieutenant governor and came up short in the recall in 2012.
Let's talk about this Senate race. Tammy is running unopposed right now. She will be the Democratic candidate. She is our senator. On the other side of this, there are two people that are running in the Republican Party. And are they going to do damage to each other, much as we're afraid that the 10 Democrats running for governor are going to do damage to each other?
So that's something that Republicans have been very aware of and speaking to. So at the Republican convention last month, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, who's the GOP incumbent there, said he really wants them to avoid mudslinging the race, Leah Vukmir and Kevin Nicholson. He says, we need to get through this. We need to be a unified party so that when we get into the general election with a candidate, you're not going to have a weak GOP candidate who's had a lot of things thrown at him or her.
We are talking to Sean Johnson and Laurel White. You just heard Laurel. They are our state capitol reporters for WPR. And Sean spent the weekend hanging out with Democrats in Oshkosh, listening to speakers. We're going to go next to Dana Walks. He contrasted his vision with Walker's Wisconsin. What was that about, Sean?
It was just kind of like an echo. You would say, like, Walker's Wisconsin is this. Talk about something that was, not what Democrats want, obviously, and then contrast it with what Walks would do. And, you know, here's just a sampling of that speech from Friday.
And in Walker's Wisconsin, LGBTQIA rights have been under attack. In our Wisconsin, we're going to ensure folks have the same level of protection for gender identity as they have for race and religion. That's our Wisconsin.
Is LGBTQ rights his biggest issue?
I'm not sure you could say prior to this weekend that, like, hey, that's Dana Walk's issue. Right. I mean, every candidate has sort of struggled to stake out their own turf as to what is the issue that defines them. It is something that he used in his speech on Friday that got cheers, and you didn't hear other candidates bring it up to such a large degree. Mm. And he introduced a plan on Saturday that would kind of dovetail with that, enable people to change their the gender marker on identification documents without having to go through sex reassignment surgery, prohibit the discrimination of people based on gender identity, expand the Wisconsin hate crime law to include victims targeted because of their gender identity. So he's looking for an issue that kind of makes him stand out from this pack.
My question about the governors, Scott Walker had a specific agenda, which he has implemented in the last 8 years, right? 8 years. And now what do Democrats, is there a unifying vision about the kind of Wisconsin they would like to be? Or is it just anti-Walker?
I think it's a combination of both. You know, there's a school of thought that says that just being anti-Walker is not going to win it for them.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to be for something. You can't just be against something. And that's been their undoing, is that the Democrats have been critical of Walker without presenting their own vision. But, I mean, the governor has signed a lot of laws that get under the skin of Democrats, and you're at a Democratic convention here, and he is not a popular person. So I think it's natural that they're going to say, yes, I'm going to repeal this, 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 and this, you know, Act 10, voter ID, you name it, you know, try to either cancel or chip away at the Foxconn deal. You are seeing the party, I think, by bits and pieces kind of coalesce around an agenda. I mean, you see some common themes in terms of what they'd like to do with education,
healthcare,
or the environment.
Mm-hmm. So talk to me about that, Laurel. What do they want to do with education? What do they want to do with healthcare?
So I think across the board, put more money into education. A lot of the Democratic candidates are talking about the cuts that Scott Walker has made to K-12 and higher education in Wisconsin. And the governor has kind of tipped his hat and said this is a big issue for voters in Wisconsin, because the last budget had a lot to do with education. He put a lot of money into education in the last budget. So he's saying this is something that's important to voters. And Democrats are saying, okay, Walker knows this, and we want even more money. We need to invest in education in Wisconsin.
And healthcare.
Healthcare, Democrats have been talking for a long time about a Medicaid expansion, which is something that the governor has opposed. And they say that that would make a really big difference to the healthcare economy in Wisconsin. So,
and this is something that can be done within the state. Mm-hmm. There could be a Medicaid expansion that people can buy into, that could be Medicaid essentially for everyone. Mm-hmm. But is the legislature going to actually go along with that?
See, that's the catch with so many of these Democratic candidates and the policies that they're pushing. They would have to have a legislature to go along with them to get these things done in many cases. And we are not guaranteed of that, certainly because of the Republican majorities in the Assembly and the Senate right now. Unless there were big changes in this fall's election, a Democratic governor, if one is elected, would have to contend with that.
And what are you getting from the rest of the state in terms of, you know, we're looking at the Democratic candidates for governor, and we're looking for at a Senate race. There are smaller races that are going to be coming down the pike, and all of our assemblymen are going to be reelected. Are you getting a sense of, I like my guy, and I'm going to vote for the same person that I voted for? Or are you getting a sense that people want change in the assembly?
I guess it's going to vary district by district, candidate by candidate. There is some focus right now on two very specific seats, special election seats that are up on June 12th.
Mm-hmm.
And these were highly publicized elections. Governor Scott Walker didn't want to call the special elections. He was forced to by court order. And so they will kind of be the next test of where we are, you know, in Wisconsin in terms of what type of year this might be in 2018.
And where are these seats?
These are the first state Senate district in northeast Wisconsin and the 42nd Assembly District in south central Wisconsin. They were represented by Republicans. The first state Senate district has been a Republican for a very long time. And, you know, the districts definitely lean Republican. So if Democrats were to win those, they would kind of put that on the stack as far as momentum goes toward November. If Republicans can hold them back there, I think they're going to say, hey, look, what we're doing here with the so-called red wall in Wisconsin is working.
We are talking to Sean Johnson and Laurel White about the State Democratic Convention and what's coming up in our elections in August and in November. You are listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We are talking this morning with our State Capitol Bureau Chief, Sean Johnson, and our State Capitol reporter, Laurel White, about the Democratic Convention that just happened this weekend and about what's going on in our state politics-wise. You came, Sean, with a lot of clips from this convention. Talk to me about Kathleen Vinehout.
Kathleen Vinehout, who, by the way, has won straw polls at these conventions in previous years.
But never got elected.
Yeah, kind of came in the middle pack for this one over the past weekend. Kathleen Vinehout is a state senator, a policy wonk for sure. She said in her speech that if she was elected, she would put the people first, and she referenced a step she took when she was one of the state senators way back in 2011 that left the state to prevent a vote on Governor Scott Walker's collective bargaining bill.
That's why I and we, the Wisconsin 14, left the state in 2011 so we could put people first, so people could see, understand, and speak out when Walker made his first move to put people last and a few well-connected corporations first.
So she has been the front runner before in straw polls. That didn't really do anything for her. So we can't really put too much emphasis on these straw polls.
That's right. This is an instance in which sometimes we don't have a ton of polling information so far in this race. So even when we get a little snapshot, we kind of want to latch onto it a little bit to get some information. And it is valuable from the standpoint that these are the party insiders, right? So we kind of get a sense of what the base of the base is interested in from this poll, the straw poll at the Democratic convention.
When are we going to get some real polling on this?
Probably the next time Marquette releases their survey, unless somebody from outside wants to do it. You have seen, when firms like, Paul Maslin's firm does a poll for Paul Soglin, or Public Policy Polling does one for Tony Evers. And those are real respected firms. Those are real polls, but you don't get like the whole picture of what they're asking, the script of the questions, all the details that you do with somebody like Marquette.
We've got George from Milwaukee talking about McCabe. George, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, I'm a Mike McCabe supporter. You know, Mike is actually not running. He's running in the Democratic Party, but he's not a Democrat. He's kind of Wisconsin's Bernie Sanders. I think that he has the capability of beating Walker because I think he, more than a lot of the other Democrats, would appeal to people who are seeing themselves as independent.
I was wondering when Bernie Sanders' name was going to come up in this conversation. Do you agree with that?
I think a few candidates would like to kind of lay claim to that, to being the Bernie candidate. Mm-hmm. And early on, you heard Paul Soglin it being mentioned as being that type of candidate. Paul Soglin is 72 and, has a long record as mayor of Madison's, the liberal city of Madison. And so looked at Bernie Sanders' race and thought, hey, that could be me, winning Wisconsin. Mike McCabe has definitely tried to latch on to that Bernie momentum. And if you heard his speech at convention, it was 5 minutes, and they were really firm about that 5-minute ending point at convention. They cut mics, the Democratic Party did, at 5 minutes, and some people were just in the middle of their remarks, and they had to quit. I've never seen it at a convention before. Added an extra element of excitement to it. So McCabe, it just built, He is in the room. I'm not sure how it looked on TV because he's essentially shouting into a microphone, but in the room, he is a fiery speaker, and the people who were there who support him kind of went nuts for him.
Governor Scott Walker was not at the Democratic convention, but what does he have to say about Democrats?
He is taking kind of, the nice guy approach right now. And that's not to say that his campaign or his allies won't run negative ads in this race. I think it's 2018 and this is a political campaign. They will. But right now, because of this fractured field, because no other Democrats are up on TV, he's been able to run 4 TV ads that hit on positive themes about his record and go around the state touting stuff like his child tax credit, and which Democrats have said is essentially an election year bribe. Mm-hmm. Here's what the governor has had to say, about those types of claims. And you can get a sense of kind of his tone at this point in the race.
Let's just be honest here. State Democrats, you fill in the blank. They're opposed to whatever I'm for. But if you go ask everyday citizens across the state, do you think it's a good idea when the state has a bigger than expected surplus to send it back so that families have some extra money to spend on their kids before they go back to school, to help with parents and grandparents offset that. I think regardless of party, not elected officials, but regardless of party by the voters, they'd say that's a pretty good deal.
So I should say Walker is taking that tone. The state party does have a website out, which they've just started pushing, where it essentially calls every Democrat in the race names. It has a nickname for them, being too dangerously left. So Walker can kind of play that nice guy right now because he's got the state party out there doing that.
We've got 10 people in this Democratic field for governor. Is that too many people?
There are obviously different schools of thought on this. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody, at least that I talked to at convention, you know, there's sort of an acknowledgement that, yeah, that's a big field. So people kind of will start by saying the right thing from a Democratic messaging perspective. Like, well, you know, 10 candidates means we got a lot of interest in this race. People think Scott Walker can be beat. We've got a lot of choices. But I think there is an acknowledgement among Democrats that there are things they are unable to do because they are sorting out this large field. You know, they are not.
And are they ready to go in August when they pick their candidate? Are they ready to jump and go?
You know, the I think it's the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has reported on their sort of this plan once the primary is over, where money will flood to the race and prop up whoever is the nominee. It's a little bit difficult though, because when you have this plan to save all your money for August 15th, it means some of these candidates who are in the race who want that donation to help them get over that primary finish line are maybe being told, no, I'm going to wait till the primary's over.
Sean Johnson, who you just heard, is WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief, and Laurel White is WPR State Capitol Reporter. They have been reporting on the Democratic convention that was just held this weekend. Thank you both for being with us this morning. You also have been doing features on candidates for the governor's race. Laurel, you have a profile today on Tony Evers, mm-hmm. Who is the man that he says he's got more name recognition. He has won statewide office.
That's right. So he's considered the front runner based on early polling we have in the race right now. And he's really pushing this name recognition argument. He's the state school superintendent. He's won statewide elections in the past. So that's a big part of his message.
We're going to listen to this feature you did on Tony Evers in a moment. We're going to continue our coverage of the 2018 governor's race.
Even though he hasn't been a classroom teacher for years, Tony Evers has the sort of personality that you could see coming in handy in a room full of elementary school kids. He's calm and quiet and polite. Some Democrats might say a little too polite for politics. When you ask him about one of the biggest political issues of the day, Foxconn, he makes it clear he thinks it was a bad deal for Wisconsin, but he's kind of nice about it.
It's not that I want to be a jerk about this, but the fact of the matter is we do have needs in this state, and some of those needs can be made by making Foxconn a good corporate citizen.
It's that type of answer that has some Democrats questioning whether Evers is tough enough to beat Governor Scott Walker. Liberal radio host Mike Crute, who had a short-lived run for governor himself, said on his show last month that Evers didn't have what it takes to be considered the Democratic frontrunner.
I'm not saying it's entirely Tony's fault. I mean, the man's got thin skin. He can't take it. He's a bad debater.
Crute said Evers would be, quote, horrible on the stage next to Scott Walker. Jeff Mayers is the president of WisPolitics.com, a news service for political insiders. He acknowledges Evers is not what some Democrats in Wisconsin are looking for right now.
I mean, I think that a lot of Democrats, rank-and-file Democrats, are looking for the passionate leader, who will go out there and cut up the Republicans and, lead them to, resurgence.
But Evers says being a loud, tough, aggressive candidate isn't what's going to win this race for Democrats.
Shouting does not translate into leadership.
And he isn't apologizing for who he is.
I am who I am. I mean, honest to God, I've been doing this for a long time.
Tony Evers is where he is today, running for governor, in part because of his quiet, steady personality. He has years of experience as a successful behind-the-scenes administrator for Wisconsin schools. He's an education policy expert. and he says his years of experience with schools have prepared him to govern the whole state. At the root of his argument is how education touches so many things.
People recognize the importance of education for economic development, for our democracy, for having good health systems, for having a well-trained workforce. All those things begin at the in our K-12 system and our University of Wisconsin system, Tech College system.
Early supporters urged Evers to run for governor in part because Wisconsin voters liked him enough to elect him three times as state school superintendent. Wisconsin's last Democratic governor, Jim Doyle, won three terms as the state attorney general before he made the jump. Evers talks about the power of his name recognition and his record of winning elections a lot in his campaign. He says he brings to the table one very big thing Wisconsin Democrats are looking for in 2018.
They're looking for somebody that can beat Scott Walker, for starters.
Evers does push the name recognition argument a lot. But he also says, at the end of the day, people cast their ballot for someone they think has the right values. Evers says Wisconsin voters appreciate, and will come to appreciate as he meets more of them, that he's an authentic candidate. He's open and true to who he is. He's not going to change just because he's running for governor, even if some people might want him to. Laurel White, Wisconsin Public Radio.
So, Laurel, that was the second in the series of features. On Friday, we played Governor Walker. Today, Tony Evers. Tomorrow, who are we listening to?
Got Matt Flynn tomorrow, yep. Assuming it all comes together here. And, you know, not that I'm doing anything at the last minute. Andy Gronick next, Mike McCabe, Malin Mitchell, Josh Pade, Paul Soglin, Kelda Royce, Dana Walks, and Kathleen Vinehouse.
So it's this week and next week.
This week and next week, yeah. And we're going to be playing them all through the morning show. What's the point of the feature? Why are you doing this?
So we're kind of trying to give people an idea of not only who these candidates are, but sort of what their political foundation is in Wisconsin. What has given them the standing to run for governor at this point? That's what we're kind of trying to give people insight into with these pieces.
Well, you just heard Laurel White, who's our state capitol reporter, and Sean Johnson is our state capitol bureau chief. They've been talking to us all things Democratic convention and the Democratic Party's chances in the upcoming elections. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Coming up in the next hour, we're going to look at immigration in the U.S., especially when it comes to children. This is The Morning Show. I'm Carrie Kaufman.